There you go. 7:38, and Bill Flores joins us this morning. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. How about you?
Good. First of all, congratulations on the win last night.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm very humbled to have received the support of so many people across this district.
You know, there were polls that came out. I think in just about every poll you were ahead, but the margin of victory percentage-wise was even greater. Were those the inside numbers that you were getting as you got ready for yesterday?
I have to be candid. No, they weren't. And I was stunned by the size of the victory. I mean, the people of this district sent a loud and clear message to not only to Washington, but to leadership all over this country.
And really early on, we were discussing how on our broadcast that I thought they would have called the race earlier simply based on you ran a very strong race in McLennan County.
I don't know how the people that call the races decide when they're going to call them. After the early results came in, there were people on our team that had came up to me and said, "You've won." And I said, "Please don't say that. I mean, I really want to see more returns." So I was pleased that it came out the way it did. AP called the race, and then a few minutes later, Congressman Edwards called and gave us a gracious concession conversation. And then we just watched the numbers roll in, and the people of this district really spoke clearly last night.
Yeah, he was. I'll tell you, folks, at 6:45, he was standing outside the Brazos Center in the rain. He was still looking for votes.
Yes, sir.
I would like to get your assessment before we start on the Bill Flores plan. I'd like to get your assessment and your comments on Chet Edwards representing the 17th Congressional District.
Chet Edwards is a fine person, and I think we owe him a large degree of gratitude for his representation of our district over the last 20 years and for his public service to Texas and to our nation. And I also appreciate the support that his family provided to him. I can tell you as a candidate, it's very tough to do this without your family, and I'm assuming as a congressman it's equally difficult. So we owe him a great deal of gratitude and his family as well.
I don't know how much you've seen of the other races, but it looks like the Republicans are going to have between 65 and 70 seats now. That seems to be, and of course there are regional issues involved, but that seems to be a pretty strong signal that's being sent to Washington.
Yes, sir, it does, and I believe that I'm hoping that Washington on both sides of the aisle is clearly hearing this message. The American people are saying we cannot do business the way we've done it in the past, and we definitely don't like the direction the country was going. And so I believe that if both sides of the aisle will listen to what this freshman class is bringing to it, that we can really improve the way Washington works, and we can set a new course for America.
So what, since about – this is the first time you're going to be a freshman since 72, is that?
Yes. Yes, sir, that's correct. I was on an earlier radio show this morning. They called me Fish Flores.
Yeah, there you go. You can relate to that. Right. So now there is an orientation process that goes on. Explain to our audience, if you would, what happens now today.
Well, this morning I'm getting together with our team at 11:30. We're going to have pizza and sit down with a blank sheet of paper and draw up our transition plan. We need to make sure that when we're sworn in on January the 5th, that we hit the ground running, because the people of this district, I think, are not going to tolerate any kind of a long, drawn-out learning curve. They're expecting me to be up and running within minutes after I'm sworn in. And so we're going to develop that plan so that everything's in place on day one, and we can expect that we're going to get in there and start focusing on the issues that are important. That's jobs, the economy, and getting the deficit spending under control.
Now, obviously, there's an orientation process as to the way Congress works. So how are you educated as far as that goes?
I have to say that I have spent no time looking at the way Congress works today. We focused on running a campaign and winning that campaign. And in order to make sure that we didn't put any carts in front of any horses, we focused on the campaign. This morning, we're starting on the next 1,000 steps, and that's to determine how Congress works, and determine how we want to move forward, and so that on January 5th, we're doing the best possible job for the people of this district.
Congressman-elect Bill Flores joining us this morning. So the words last night, people's dissatisfaction with the way Washington is working, what did you think in your campaign resonated most with voters that showed you as a candidate of change?
The issues that were clearly evident in the split between the way Washington operated in the 111th Congress versus the way the people of the United States in District 17 wanted to go included, I mean, if you think about it, this Congress paid no attention to private sector jobs. They thought that every job that was created came from some sort of a federal check, either through a handout or through a check to a company or a check to a project. That's not the way this country works. This country has grown on the private sector having confidence to reinvest in people and plant and equipment and new business plans. So there's a big difference there. This Congress paid no attention to the economy. They thought that they need to be spending time worrying about cap and trade or climate change or going down other bunny trails like a financial reform bill that doesn't address the issues. And then last but not least, this Congress was spending like there was no tomorrow, and they have saddled future generations with a terrible debt that we've got to get under control, and we've got to get it under control early on in the 112th Congress.
It appears that Republican Jerry Lewis will be the head of Ways and Means. He's a long proponent of earmarks. That would seem to signal that the Republicans didn't hear that part of the message. I know that give people a clear definition of what your stand is on earmarks. And is that something that you will speak to leadership about if you have some sort of a difference of opinion as to the way that earmarks are handled?
Well, my definition of earmarks is the current system is emblematic of a broken appropriations process where there is a horse trading. If you'll scratch my back on this project, I'll scratch your back on this project. And that's what causes us to fund things like the Charlie Rangel Center in New York City, which is not a critical national priority, or causes us to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for tattoo removal in California. Those things don't make the American people better off. Those don't provide a return on taxpayer investment. What I want to do is I don't mind using congressionally mandated appropriations to fund things of critical national importance. Food safety research at Texas A&M or space research at Baylor University or expenditures for first responders like a P-25 radio system for the sheriff in Hood County. Those are critical national priorities. But they've got to go through a transparent appropriations process, and that's what I will push for. And I think if you do that, then you not only clean up the earmarks process by substituting a new process, but you also clear up the appropriations process. I think we've got to have clean appropriations bill. If you're going to have a defense bill, it's got to stay a defense bill. It can't be something where you're loading it up with social lard, if you will, to try to get it passed. In terms of Republican leadership, I don't know Congressman Lewis, so I can't speak to what his philosophy is on earmarks. But I can tell you this. The Republican leadership that I have talked to in the past has said, we are committed to reforming the appropriations process. And I think they got the message loud and clear. And if for some reason they didn't, this freshman class will make sure that they get that message. Again, we're not trying to say that you can't use a congressionally mandated appropriation ever. We're just saying it has to fit two tests. One, critical national priority, and two, it goes through a transparent appropriations process. And the taxpayers need a return on investment on those dollars, because you've got to think about it. Those dollars started in their pockets, in the taxpayers' pockets.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. Two of the biggest items in the budget, if you want to balance the budget, that's great, but two of the biggest items in the budget are entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. It's going to be tough to take those things on, but obviously there was some discussion in the campaign about retirement age and Social Security. With those being two of the most expensive programs that we have in our budget, how would you address those?
Well, let me say this. Social Security has a $19 trillion unfunded liability today, and Medicare has an $80 trillion unfunded liability. Those are clearly unsustainable programs in their current form. We've got to fix those programs, and you look at it on three areas. Number one is, how much revenue do you have going into those programs? And the best way to fix that is to start growing our economy. Put more people back to work so that you have more payroll dollars going back into the system instead of having a net outflow like we did this year because of a sick economy. And then you look at the trust fund. For the last several years, employees and employers like you and me have put $2.5 trillion into the trust fund, and those dollars have been removed and spent to grow government, and we've got a set of IOUs. And when those IOUs come due, we're going to have to start borrowing from folks like the Chinese to pay that. And then the other side is the expenditure side. And if you go to SSA.gov, you can see what the actuaries at the Social Security Administration have calculated in terms of different fixes that you can apply to Social Security and what they do. At this point in time, I'm not prepared to go through an option by option, because I think you need to look at everything in a comprehensive package. The revenue side, the trust fund side, component, and then also all the expenditures that come out of those programs. But they are broken today, and if we want to ensure long-term viability of these programs, not only for today's senior citizens, but also for the 30-year-olds and 20-year-olds that are paying in the system today, we've got to take a comprehensive look at these programs.
One of the things you said during the campaign is that what you would like to do is be part of the fight that would repeal Obamacare. Truth be told, that can't happen. There aren't enough votes to have that happen. Do you see that there might be some other ways that you can go about changing what Obamacare is today?
Yes, sir, I do. I think that candidly, I believe it would be tough to repeal Obamacare, particularly in light of the fact that the Republicans did not get control of the Senate. But that said, you've got to remember, every appropriations bill starts in the Congress. And every appropriations bill needs to have a component that says that $0 of that appropriations bill will be used to fund the implementation of Obamacare. And there may be a fight over that, and I would expect that there would be a fight over it. But Obamacare is a job-killing bill. We've already seen employers all over the country staring premium increases from 25% up to 400%. On their health care coverage bills. That is not a way to grow jobs, to improve the economy, and particularly when you look at the other inherent defects in this bill. The best thing to do is repeat, is somehow kill it, neuter it, and then start over.
One of the big things that helped Texas balance their budget 2 years ago was that they basically got an influx of cash from the federal government. Don't know what the budget shortfall is going to be in Texas, but it's going to be sizable. CHIPS and Medicaid is a big chunk of that, and Texas spends as much on that as anybody else. And it would appear that Fighting Texas Aggie Joe Barton is going to be the chairman of the committee that will oversee that. If Joe Barton comes to you and says, I need enough money to fund this program in Texas, even though it's more than it has been, to help them balance their budget, Is Bill Flores on board with that?
Here's the way to fix the Texas economy. First of all, here in Texas, we're lucky because on a relative scale, we're much better off than the rest of the country. We've got unemployment levels that are better than the rest of the country. We've got a fiscal situation that's better than the rest of the country. But we're not achieving what Texas could achieve on the economic scale. And the reason is because the national economy is so sick. If you want to fix Texas, and whether it's funding for CHIPS or Medicaid or Texas A&M, the way to fix that is to grow the national economy, because Texas will get more than its fair share. If we reduce unemployment in Texas from 8% to 4.5%, we'll cure the budget issues in Texas, and Texas will not have to and will not want to turn to Washington for any sort of fiscal help from Washington. I mean, we fix multiple things. We fix the federal budget partially by doing that, and we fix our state budgets, not only in Texas, but all across this country. That's where I want to spend my focus, putting people back to work.
I'm almost angry beyond words this morning over a president that is about to have our country spend $200 million a day for a trip to Mumbai, when we have people here without jobs and food, people in that country without jobs and food. That's the kind of deafness that I think people are angry about.
It reflects incredible arrogance and incredible narcissism among the administration team. And I believe that we in Congress, one of the first things we need to do as part of tightening the belt of Washington is look at the cost of the administration and also look at the cost of Congress. And that's a travesty of to treat the American taxpayer with such disrespect and such disregard. And I can guarantee you that's one of the things that Bill Flores will be looking at is the administration's budget, because I'm angry that with 14 million people out of work in this country, that we are hauling several thousand people over there and spending over $800 million. That is awful.
Bill Flores, he's the congressman-elect for the 17th Congressional District. We'll continue our talks when he takes over there. Thank you for the time this morning.
Scott, glad to be here. And please, I'd like to ask all the listeners out there, please remember our country and our troops in their prayers.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right. It's 7:53.